VOA News, I'm Tommy McNeil. The investigation into an Ethiopian Airlines crash that killed all on board continues. Reuters' Mia Warmersley tells us that there were 157 on the plane. It crashed shortly after takeoff, and investigators say it had an erratic flight pattern.
Flight tracking website FlightRadar24 said on its Twitter feed the flight had unstable vertical speed after takeoff. The 737 is the world's best-selling modern passenger aircraft and one of the industry's most reliable.
Ahmed Noor Mohammed Noor Ibaran.
In a news conference, Ethiopian's CEO said the plane had no recorded technical problems and the pilot was a member of the airline's staff with a, quote, excellent flying record and over 200 flight hours. At Nairobi Airport, many relatives were left waiting at the gate for hours with no information from airport authorities. Some learned of the crash from journalists. Kenyan officials arrived at the airport 5 hours after the plane went down. Families were taken to Nairobi's Sheraton Hotel, but said they were still waiting to hear from airline staff 8 hours after the accident.
That is Reuters' Mia Warmersley reporting. Clashes and fierce fighting are reported in northeastern Syria, where the U.S.-backed forces say their final assault on the Islamic State terror group enclave of Baghouz is underway. A spokesman for the Syrian Democratic Forces made the announcement on social media Sunday, writing the offensive to wipe out the last remnant of the terror group's self-declared caliphate resumed at 6 p.m. local time. White House officials say that President Trump plans to seek another $8.6 billion for border wall in his new budget to be released on Monday. This new request would be on top of the nearly $7 billion Mr. Trump has ordered to be used to build a wall under his state of emergency declaration. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says the president tried this once and he will also run into interference once again. This is VOA News. The White House said Sunday it does not have any illusions about whether North Korea is preparing to resume missile testing, but refused to assess commercial satellite imagery suggesting Pyongyang is assembling a new rocket. National Security Advisor John Bolton told ABC News the U.S. watches North Korea constantly.
The president has been very clear that he's not going to make the mistakes of prior administrations. And one mistake that prior administrations made repeatedly was assuming that the North Koreans would automatically comply when they undertake obligations. The North Koreans, for example, have pledged to give up their nuclear weapons program at least 5 separate times, beginning in 1992 with the joint North-South denuclearization agreement. They never seemed to get around to it, though. So that's one reason why we pay particular attention to what North Korea is doing all the time. We see exactly what they're doing now. We see it unblinkingly, and we don't have any illusions about what their capabilities are.
The February 22nd imagery seems to show that North Korean missile activity at an assembly operation. Bolton said the U.S. relies on its own satellite surveillance. On Venezuela, Bolton said Sunday that momentum is on Guaido's side, but suggested that it will be Venezuelans who make sure the opposition leader prevails. He was referring to the raging power struggle between embattled ruler Nicolas Maduro and opposition leader Juan Guaido, who is recognized by much of the international community as the interim president. Venezuela's economic collapse has triggered hunger, deprivation, and mass migration. Recent days have added to the suffering as widespread power outages ground to a halt the nation. Algerian president had landed in Algeria Sunday amid protests against his bid for a fifth term as president.
Many of the protesters are young Algerians desperate for jobs and angry at unemployment, corruption, and an elderly elite. Older Algerians, haunted by the civil war in the 1990s, tolerated crackdowns on dissent in exchange for stability. But now some have appeared at demonstrations to demand reforms. Even if Bouteflika's position becomes untenable, it's not clear who could replace him. For years, rumours have swirled about potential successors, but no one credible has emerged who has the backing of the army and elite and is not in their 70s or 80s.
That's Reuters' Saskia O'Donoghue reporting. Voting with peaceful and turnout high in Guinea-Bissau Sunday, where voters cast ballots for a new president with hopes of ending years of political turmoil. Voters chose from a field of candidates from the ruling African Party for the independence of Guinea and Cape Verde and 20 opposition parties. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
Good morning, Africa, and welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, in for James Batty, and today is Monday, March the 11th, and here are some of the stories we're covering for you this morning. Ethiopian Airlines says that it has established a commission to investigate yesterday's plane crash. All 157 people on board of that flight were killed in the crash.
We set up a team to investigate the accident, and the team of comprising from civilization and other different units are going to investigate and travel to the site.
That is Afrat Begasho. He's the spokesperson for Ethiopian Airlines. And meanwhile, Kenya is mourning the death of its citizens. 32 of them were among the 157 passengers of the ill-fated Ethiopian plane crash. The U.S. Department of State extended condolences to the families and friends of those killed in the tragic crash. It confirmed that at least 8 U.S. citizens were among the victims. And as tensions continue between Uganda and Rwanda, President Paul Kagame publicly accuses the government of neighboring Uganda for being complicit in the arrest and detention of Rwandan citizens.
There are people who have been in a prison in their dozens, actually running into hundreds now. Some of them are in military prisons. Almost every week, there are people who are brought and dumped across the border.
Rwandan President Paul Kagame addressing a meeting of senior leaders in his government. Those stories plus sports are coming up right here on Daybreak Africa. The tension between East African neighbors Uganda and Rwanda continues to make news in the region. Over a week ago, the government of Rwanda blocked Ugandan cargo trucks from entering its territory at its border in Katuna. Rwanda has also issued a travel advisory warning its citizens not to travel to Uganda. This weekend, President Paul Kagame addressed the tensions in public remarks while addressing a retreat of senior Rwandan officials. Mr. Kagame accused the Ugandan government of arresting and torturing its citizens.
There are people who have been in a prison in their dozens, actually running into hundreds now. Some of them are in military prisons, others nobody knows where they are. Some have, and how did we come to know this? Almost every week, there are people who are brought and dumped across the border.
The relationship between Uganda and Rwanda has seen its share of ups and downs, shifting from warm relations to disagreements over issues like the DRC and many others. But in the recent years, we have seen more warm relations between President Kagame and President Museveni, often visiting each other and working together to strengthen the East African community. However, this latest resurgence of hostility between the two neighbors has taken on new dimensions that include the use of social media by officials in both countries, trading accusations over platforms like Twitter. In his speech to senior leaders of his government, Mr. Kagame said that he had addressed the issues with his counterpart in Uganda, going as far as raising specific incidents of Rwandan citizens who had been arrested in Uganda.
We have evidence, and I have discussed it with my counterpart in Uganda. There are meetings we had in Addis Ababa, have a summit. We met twice on 2 days during the summit, directly. We're talking, and I raised this.
President Paul Kagame addressing a meeting with senior leaders of his government this past weekend. And to get a better understanding of Mr. Kagame's speech and the tension between these two neighbors, I reached Edmond Kajire, a Rwandan journalist and political analyst based in Kigali. Mr. Kajire tells me that even though both countries have previously addressed their differences, it was the first time that the Rwandan leader had gone to such great length and detail regarding this issue.
I think President Kagame for the first time went into details and highlighted some of the issues that have existed between the two countries. Going on to say that actually the border situation at the moment which is largely attributed to construction works going on at the border with Uganda at Katuna, is not the actual issue happening between the two countries. And then he went on to say that the issues that have brought about this current situation go way back, and he has been having talks with his Ugandan counterpart.
Okay, and he articulated on some of that. We'll talk a little bit about that later on, but let's start with the border closure. Is the border between Rwanda and Uganda currently, as we speak, is that closed?
At the moment, I would say the borders are open, but I think what is happening is that Rwandans are not able to go to Uganda, but the borders are open because... for a fact, yesterday I picked some materials from the buses. They are moving from the ones from Kenya.
So there's traffic moving between Uganda and Rwanda?
There is.
What about the story that...
On the side of Kagitumba.
Just to give our listeners a little bit of a context here, is that there are two big border posts. There are other smaller ones, but there's one in Gatuna and there's one in Kagitumba. And last week, I believe it was last week or the week before last, the border was closed. Ugandans who were transporting their goods through the Gatuna border post were told that their goods cannot go across. The reason for that, and there was some sort of construction that was taking place.
The construction of the one-stop border post at Gatuna.
Now, is that complete? Are the trucks able to move freely now?
From what I was told yesterday, trucks and buses have
resumed.
Trucks are not able to go through Gatuna. They have been told to go back to Kagitumba, which is on the other side. They have to go back to...
That's the other border.
More than take the Mirama Hill Road, then come through Kagitumba. So from my understanding, some businessmen have been saying that it's going to cause them losses.
Mm.
And there's been a lot of traffic at Gatuna of trucks waiting maybe to be allowed to go through, but cargo traffic is coming through Kagitumba and Chanika, but at the moment, I think only buses are able to go through Gatuna.
The buses carrying passengers from Rwanda and Uganda?
Yes, from President Kagame's speech yesterday, we understand that the issue is going to be resolved and goods and trucks will be moving, as usual, but what remains to be resolved are the issues that Rwanda has raised to Uganda.
Okay, so what are some of those issues? And these are some of the specific issues that President Kagame addressed in his meeting with his senior government leaders at the retreat. What are some of the accusations from Rwanda about what Uganda is doing?
For the first time, he spoke deeply about the situation. And he said the biggest issue regards free movement of people. He says hundreds of Rwandans go to Uganda and they are harassed, they are arrested, some of them deported across the border, while others have been in jail, some for as many as 2 years. He did mention one, René Rutagungira, a Rwandan, I think he's a former soldier, was arrested in Uganda and accused of carrying out espionage acts. And President Kagame said he discussed this matter with his Ugandan counterpart, particularly the case of Mr. Rutagungira. And he said that he did provide some facts to President Museveni. And the Ugandan president had promised to take action or look into the matter, but it never happened. He said he did address the issues to him in a number of meetings, and then he went on to talk about the presence of the opposition group Rwanda National Congress in Uganda. He did mention several times that they are recruiting in Uganda, and the people who are targeted or arrested either refuse to be recruited or refuse to be part of the activities that are happening in Uganda, which are aimed at destabilizing Rwanda. That's what President Kagame said.
Edmond, the spokesperson of the Ugandan government, Mr. Ofwono Opondo, recently addressed the issue in the media. Mr. Ofwono denied that Rwandans were being held for political reasons, saying that if there were any Rwandans in Ugandan prisons, They had been processed through the political and judicial system. Let's listen to him and then we'll continue our conversation.
The government of Uganda would like to make it abundantly clear once more, for those who have ears, it has no issues with the government of Rwanda or with the people of Rwanda, with the people of Rwanda in Rwanda or the people of Rwanda in Uganda. Secondly, any matters arising or being raised by the government of Rwanda, we have established channels, which is our Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Diplomatic Services, through which we respond. I want to reiterate that in all the previous engagement, the government of Uganda has been cooperative.
That was Ugandan government spokesperson Mr. Ofwono Opondo recently addressing the media on this issue of the tensions between Rwanda and Uganda. So, Edmond, this is not the first time that we have seen tensions between these two East African community members. Do you know if there is a mechanism within the organization, the EAC, on how to address or mediate such conflict between member states?
Currently, apart from the summit, we haven't seen any other effort between the countries. We saw President Kagame in Tanzania last week, and I think it was more to do with relations with Tanzania, not as part of the East African community. But so far, we haven't seen any effort, whether it's from Kenya or Tanzania or any other country, to try and intervene in this current situation between Rwanda and Uganda.
Mm.
For the moment, some say maybe the AU should take charge and try to mediate the situation between the two countries and all the other East African countries. Because as it happens, we are seeing issues between Rwanda and Uganda, issues between Burundi and Rwanda, then some issues between Kenya and Tanzania. It's a number of differences between the countries, and it will take maybe external mediation for this situation to be resolved.
Edmond Kajire is a Rwandan journalist and political analyst. I reached him in Kigali, Rwanda. Meanwhile, the East African Legislative Assembly has called on Uganda and Rwanda to resolve peacefully the current tension between the two countries. From Burundi's capital, Bujumbura, Moses Havyarimana brings us this story.
After Rwandans were restricted to travel to Uganda, trucks halted at the Gatuna border between Uganda and Rwanda. The East African Legislative Assembly has called on the two countries to resolve the current crisis peacefully in order to allow the free movement of goods and persons as provided in the East African Community Common Market Protocol, to which both countries are members. George Odong is a member of the Regional Assembly from Uganda.
We as an assembly would like to amplify the voices of East Africans to call upon our partner states to restrain themselves as much as possible and to be guided by the provisions of our treaty that all manner of conflicts are not beyond our reach. We have institutions, we have leadership that is capable of resolving those issues peacefully.
Kigali says that the Rwandan citizens were regularly arrested, tortured and held incommunicado in jails of chieftaincy of military intelligence in Uganda, and that some security forces in Uganda have been supporting the Rwandan National Congress of Kayumba Nyamwasa, who closely collaborate with the FDLR rebels accused of committing the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi. Aden Abdikadir is a lawmaker from Kenya.
Even if it means challenging the status quo in our countries, the rest of you should not sit around and watch us in our disagreement. If you are true friends and you care for each other, including diplomatic standoffs, which sometimes I wonder, where is the intervention of the others? Otherwise, diplomatic engagements and disagreements that only requires to grab the hands of these two friends and say, guys, what's going on here? And it will be resolved.
For recently, the East African community has failed to resolve the challenges and the differences between member states, with the Burundi and Rwanda relations still yet to be addressed by the community. Moses Havyarimana, VOA Africa, Zanzibar.
Ethiopian Airlines has established a commission to investigate yesterday's crash plane that left all 157 people on board dead. The Ethiopian Airlines flight was en route to the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, from the capital, Addis Ababa, but crashed shortly after takeoff Sunday morning, killing all the people on board. The government-run Ethiopian Broadcasting Corporation said that the flight that went down near the city of Bishoftu, about 47 kilometers from Addis Ababa, carried passengers from 33 countries. Officials also say that flight lost contact with the Bole International Airport just 6 minutes after it took off at 8:38 a.m. local time. For the latest development, VOA's Peter Cloti reached Afrat Begasho, spokesperson for Ethiopian Airlines.
To specify the accident, we cannot say anything today. Otherwise, it will be speculation. However, we set up a team to investigate the accident, and the team of comprising from civil aviation and different units are going to investigate and traveling to the site. This morning at around 8:30, the flight departed from Addis Ababa Airport, and around 8:44, it lost contact.
I heard everybody on board perished. Is that the case?
It's true. It's a very sad moment for us and very tragic. Yes, it is true that all on board are perished.
That's Afrat Begasho, a spokesperson for Ethiopian Airlines. He was speaking to VOA's Peter Cloti. Meanwhile, Kenya is mourning the death of its 32 citizens who were among the 150 passengers of the ill-fated Ethiopian plane that crashed 6 minutes after taking off. Speaking in Nairobi, Kenya's Transport Cabinet Secretary James Macharia said that his government had already sent delegates from Kenya, led by Kenya's Transport Permanent Secretary Esther Koimet. From Nairobi, Maureen Ojambo has more on this story.
A somber mood flooded the corridors of Jomo Kenyatta International Airport in Nairobi, Kenya, after the long-awaited flight failed to land as scheduled. The Ethiopian airline ET302 Boeing 737 left Bole International Airport, Addis Ababa, on Sunday at 8:38 a.m. East African time and was expected to land 2 hours later. But at around 8:44 a.m., 6 minutes after takeoff, the Boeing claimed lives of 157 passengers, Kenya being the most affected, as 32 of its citizens lost their lives in the early morning crash. Addressing the media at the Jomo Kenyatta International Airport, Kenya's Transport Cabinet Secretary James Macharia said that the government has already dispatched delegations to Ethiopia for coordination.
And 6 minutes later, it got lost in terms of radar surveillance. There were at least 35 nationalities, and regrettably, Kenya is the highest with 32 passengers on board. We are yet to confirm the fate of those passengers, and that's why we are sending senior officials to Ethiopia to be able to coordinate the sourcing of information in a better fashion.
It is alleged that majority of the passengers aboard the ill-fated plane were coming to Kenya to attend the United Nations Environment Summit that is kicking off today, Monday. Canada suffered the second highest casualties after Kenya at 18, USA at 8, Egypt at 6, China at 8, Ethiopia at 9, Netherlands at 5, United Kingdom 7, Italy 8, France 7, and Russia 3. Macharia said that the emergency centers have been set up to offer privacy and information to the relatives of plane crash victims as the government waits for the plane's manifest from the Ethiopian carrier.
We'll be receiving them at Terminal 1D, and we shall be busing them to Sheraton Hotel to make sure we provide them with an environment which is conducive in this very difficult time. As we wait for more information. But like I say, the primary information, the primary source of information has to be the airline itself in consultation with the Ethiopian airline, Ethiopian authorities, where the incident happened.
The Kenya Airports Authority has lost three of its senior staffs who are said to have been recalled from Egypt where they were on an official trip to attend to the matters of the striking aviation workers. Johnny Anderson, Kenya Airports Authority Managing Director, says families who managed to come to the airport were attended to. Reporting for VOA's Daybreak Africa, I am Maureen Ojembo in Nairobi, Kenya.
We go to Abuja, Nigeria, where Samson Omali reports on some developments in African sports. Good morning to you, Samson.
Good Monday morning to you, Jackson. We begin the sports with a wrap of the CAF Confederations Cup matches played across various venues on the African continent this past weekend. In Group A, Raja Casablanca remained bottom of the group following a goalless draw with Hassani Agadir, who occupied third spot, while RS Bakani sealed top spot in the group after cruising to a 3-0 victory over Otoho Di Oyo. In Group B, CS Faxien moved top of the group with a 2-1 win over Etoile du Sahel at the Stade Taib Mahiri, while Enugu Rangers of Nigeria maintained their hopes of qualifying for the next round with a 1-1 draw away to Salitas. Ifeanyi George gave Rangers the lead in the 33rd minute, while Elise Swadongo restored parity for the home side on the 50th minute. In Group C, Nkana took control of Group C after thrashing Zesco United 3-0 on Sunday afternoon, while in the other group match, Walid Bahit Hamid's 33-minute strike was cancelled out by Yakubu Sangene as Asante Kotoko drew 1-1 with Al Hilal. In Group D, Petro de Luanda kept their knockout stage hopes alive with a 2-0 victory over N.A. Hussein Dier on Sunday afternoon, while Zamalek thumped Kenyan outfit Gomahia 4-0 to move to the top of Group D on Sunday night. Away from football to boxing, where unbeaten Nigeria heavyweight prospect Ife Ajaba took a dominant performance against veteran Amir Mansour in Saturday's PBC on Fox opening bout, stopping Mansour just after two rounds. The result was total domination as the big and athletic Nigerian, who is trained by Ronnie Shields, unleashed his power shots. Mansour, with 16 knockouts to his name, was down twice in the first round, totally unable to handle the power of Ife Ajaba, which is no great surprise. And now to table tennis news. Over 150 youngsters have participated in the annual Uganda National Junior Table Tennis Championship. Winners are expected to book a spot in the country's national team. Ronald Andida, Secretary General of the Ugandan Table Tennis Federation, says the National Junior Table Tennis Championship has helped them identify more young players from various schools.
And the young kids really are the future of the game, so we have to include them in our planning processes and selection processes as well. But we are looking forward to selecting a good team, not just for the competition purposes, but for future games.
Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta has declared that African Cup of Nations bound Harambee Stars, the Kenya Rugby Union, and select cash-strapped sporting federations will now receive full funding from the government. President Kenyatta made a promise during the Beyond Zero Half Marathon that was held on Sunday in Nairobi.
I want to assure you that our rugby teams will be fully sponsored by the government this year.
And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, Jackson, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. And that was Samson Omale reporting from Abuja, Nigeria. And that's it for this Monday, March the 11th edition of Daybreak Africa. We want to thank you for spending this morning with us. Join us again tomorrow for more African news and features right here on the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, producer Nicole Beckford, reporters Peter Clotty, I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, wishing you a very good Monday morning, Africa.
Into the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information. VOA.
Africa. Welcome to the